McKenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place. Good morning and welcome to Happy Hour here on K104. Jonna Spilbor, Carol Pesci, and myself, Frankenberry, we are back again with yet another show, and we are going to make it a big show today, right, Jonna? And I think you said earlier, I asked, anybody have anything on the agenda, and you said you have something. You got something?
Always got something. Which is great, because
always
I
got something. Something's always fun. You got nothing?
No, I got something. I'll save it for later.
Okay. Well, hi, everybody.
Hi.
Happy Sunday morning. Okay. So here's what happened to me. You guys know that I am a fan of the Amazon, right? And I don't mean the Amazon as in the jungle. I mean the Amazon as in .com. Right?
Correct. Yes, we are well aware.
And I realize that a lot of people are like, oh, don't buy from the Amazon because they, run over puppies or whatever, that bad corporate stuff they do. But the Amazon makes my hard life a little easier. Yep. So I use it for nearly everything, like everything. So I, and I've, and I've had pretty good luck with the Amazon. Like my stuff comes even during the height of the pandemic, except for the toilet paper. I was getting my deliveries and they were pretty much coming on time and that was all good. But so, I'm not going to stop using it. Well, the other day I had my first pretty bad Amazon, faux pas, pretty bad.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Frankenberry actually sounds a little nervous.
I know.
Oh, yeah. This was nothing I had ever experienced before. So I get an email from a neighbor that I do not know. And it was a nice email. And the neighbor informs me that she has one of my Amazon packages and she hopes that perhaps I have hers because apparently she was expecting something from the Amazon and the Amazon said it was delivered. She didn't have it yet. She did have my package from the Amazon. So she, put two and two together and said, maybe you got yours. I mean, maybe you got mine and I got yours. And she sends an email because we don't know each other. So I respond and I say, I'm not at home yet, but I do see through my cameras that there is a package on my front porch and maybe that's your package from the Amazon. And when I get home, I'll check it out and I'll definitely let you know, which I did. And sure enough, I have her package from Amazon on my front porch. Okay, no problem. So I put it in my car and I tootle on over there because I had her address and I knock on the door and she comes to the door and she's a dog person. She had dogs and it was all fine and dandy. We meet each other, blah, blah. And I hand her package and she comes out with mine and my package is very heavy. And so I say to her, just making conversation, oh, your package is a lot lighter than my package. At which time she says to me, I know. I got this package. And to be honest, I didn't even look at the address. I opened it up, realized that I hadn't purchased anything inside,
taped
it back up, and gave you a call.
This could go so bad.
A normal person would have been like, oh, yeah. And as a matter of fact, sidebar, that same exact thing happened to me a few weeks earlier with a different neighbor where I got somebody else's package. I didn't look at it. I opened it up and said, I didn't order this scented oil, and then looked at the package and realized it wasn't mine. So I just put it back in that person's mailbox.
Well, and you live alone, so you wouldn't be like, oh, is this mine or is it my husband's or,
Right.
You just opened. Package right. Open.
So now she had taped it back up like she could have just, you know, put it on my porch, and I never would have known that anybody was inside that box. So as we're exchanging the boxes, my brain starts doing the calculations of all the things I've ordered from the Amazon in the last couple of weeks. And I'm like, oh boy. Because when I tell you I order everything from Amazon,
Oh my God. Everything.
Nice. And what did this everything include that she wide-eyed opened the package to and went, whoa.
Frankie Bear, you want to guess? It was heavy. So The first thing that comes to my mind wouldn't necessarily be heavy. Yes. Okay. What do you think?
And keep in mind, you can order a bunch of things from Amazon and they all show up in the same box sometimes, you know,
Right.
different orders. So I had to drive the half a block back to my house wondering what exactly this new neighbor knows about me. And it could have run the gamut, guys. It could have been, you know, the 4-in-1 garden hose nozzle to, you know, the other stuff.
Yeah, the naughty things.
Oh, my God.
I mean, right? So now I, like, in the half a block to get back to my house, I just start working up a sweat. Because now I'm trying to, in my mind, figure out the next time our packages get mixed up, how I'm going to explain to her that I'm not a freak. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know where this was going to go. Good news. The story has a happy ending.
It was the hose.
It was birdseed. It was a vitamin drink, and it was hairspray. So I'm safe.
This time. Safe.
Yes, you are safe in this particular case, yes. Though, of course, you just did tell the entire audience that you do occasionally order stuff that would be embarrassing for other people to see.
Well, doesn't everybody? I mean, that's why you order from the Amazon and not from, like, you know, a company specifically. So right. You order from the Amazon and all they see is the little bent Whoosh. Arrow.
Right.
That little, looks kind of like a phallic symbol, if you ask me.
I always thought it was a smile.
I always thought it was something a little farther south than a smile.
Okay.
But look at it next time. Look at it next time, Frank and Barry.
So hang on. So your issue isn't with the Amazon. Your issue is with the delivery person. Number one, mm-hmm. who I believe in the past, you've kind of had it out with. No? Have you?
Oh, yeah.
You have told us at least one other story of a delivery mix-up or a delivery mess.
Yeah, because they wouldn't deliver when the construction was going on or something. And
right.
You told
and
somebody
I had to
off.
Write a note.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So here's what I...
Yeah.
I'm going to guess your main delivery driver probably takes his daily break and carefully opens your packages, tapes them back up, mm-hmm. and then just occasionally decides to let somebody else see what you're ordering. This time you did your favor. See? This time you had your back. It's bird seed.
Oh, so what you're saying is no. You're saying this time was a warning. Like, okay, this time I'm only letting your neighbor see your bird seed. Next time, it's going to be bad. It was a warning. Yeah. Like the mafia.
Do you tip mafia. Your drivers a holiday time?
It's illegal to do that, you know.
On what? Whose part? Legal to give, legal to receive. Against the rules of the delivery company? Against the law, my dear attorney friend.
It's against both. You're not supposed, they're not supposed to accept gifts valued more than $25.
So you can give a $25 tip.
Yeah. Yes, okay. I could. Did they earn a $25 tip by not delivering any of my packages during the construction, which I will not forget, even though it will be a whole year by that time? I got a memory like a steel trap. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, he could redeem himself in the next few months, I suppose. But this isn't the way to do it. Tell you that right now.
So let me ask you something. Does this neighbor have a same house number but a different street? Why
such a... No. Not even close. Not even close.
Street name different, name different, house number different.
Completely, completely, completely.
Well, he probably just had the packages ready to go for a particular area, and he just grabbed the wrong ones. He probably said to himself, hey, look, I've got two stops. They're right next to each other, or they're close to each other. One here, and, you know, hey, recent story about that one poor Amazon delivery driver who, you know, he went viral because he was losing his mind because he found one extra package at the end of his shift and he had to deliver it.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah. And it was, you know, there's no video of it, but there's just a meme of, you know, like a truck driving away with the words behind it. And people were, you know, online talking about how bad they felt for the guy because he was so stressed out, you know. So, hey, maybe your guy was, you know, he was in a hurry trying to keep it to a schedule, one of those crazy Amazon schedules. And he just grabbed the wrong ones.
I occasionally get my next door neighbor's package, who is just same street right across. It's number 10 and number 11. Like, that's easy. But to two different people, two different streets.
Yeah.
I think it was a warning.
That's right.
I think it was a warning.
That's right.
It was definitely a warning. Be nice to me, lady,
or the next one that I deliver to the wrong house is going to be the one you ordered that requires batteries.
Or the next time he's going to hold up her shipment of the batteries. Like, yeah, okay, so I'll give you your package. Good luck with it, because I'm holding back on the batteries. Smarty.
Oh, that's funny. That is funny.
Or he's going to deliver something to your house where he recreates a scene from the movie Seven.
I don't know.
No, I was going to say a severed horse head. I'll open up a box. It'll be a severed horse head, just like in the in The Godfather. Except it'll be my Amazon box.
And it'll have a direction that says place in bed.
And it'll be a stuffed unicorn. Yeah, not a real horse. It'll be a unicorn.
So now I'm going to be nervous every time. Look, and I'm on the Amazon a lot. I'm going to be nervous every time I place an order. Every time.
Well, start having stuff shipped to your mother's house and tell your mother to look at the labels and not open your stuff. We'll see how that works.
Hey, I have everything that I order, and I don't order a lot. I mean, I order from Chewy.com quite often, but I have everything delivered to the radio station.
Yeah, sometimes I have things delivered to my office too, which sometimes accidentally gets opened as well. So that's an issue.
Yeah, that could be an issue. Coworkers seeing some stuff that's a little sketchy.
So I figure, maybe from now on, I'll change my name in Amazon to Curly Pesky or Stephen Frankenberry, care of my address. And then I have plausible deniability. I think that's a good plan.
You know what this story is reminding me of?
What?
When you lived in, I'm not going to say where it was, but when you lived in an apartment before you bought your house, and it was one of my favorite ones, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And there was multiple apartments within the building, and your landlord also lived there, and that you sat laying in bed one night and you heard him cough that his bedroom was directly behind yours, and you just stopped what you were doing and you were like, oh no, he can hear through the walls. And the realization, oh gosh.
Yeah, I can
so see your face as you're like, dude, reading a burger, flipping through something, whatever. And then I was like, what? And then your eyes go wide and go back and trip in time as to what he must have heard over the years.
That is pretty much the same visceral feeling that went through my body at that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't it funny?
God, you might have to. You know what? After all this, these things are too embarrassing. Like you're an attorney. You have a reputation. The more this keeps happening, you might have to change careers or something. I don't know. Oh, yes.
Damn.
Yes. Come on,
just what I think. You cannot do it any better than you do on a weekly basis. You top yourself.
Frank and Mary, can you please
top yourself?
I know. I'm even proud of myself there. Frank and Mary, I would make a request.
Yeah.
That going forward, you cue up an applause sound for when I drop a Sagu like that. All right? Can you do that?
Yes, I can certainly find something that will highlight the Sagu situation, especially the very good ones.
Okay. So who are we talking to today, Jonna?
So with that Sagu, we are going to be talking to Kimberly Cummings. She is the founder of a website entitled Manifest Yourself and the author of a new book, which she has entitled Next Move, Best Move, Transitioning into a Career You'll Love. And I don't think she wrote it especially for attorneys who need to stop being attorneys because of their Amazon selections, but you never know. You never know.
There could be some sort of connection.
When we come back, right. Or, you know, the universe could be giving me a little tap on the shoulder. So when we come back from the break, we're going to be speaking with author and speaker and podcast host, Kimberly B. Cummings, when we come back.
All right. That sounds good. And, Jonna, by the way, I don't recommend that you go with changing your Amazon name and having it be Stephen J. Frankenberry care of, because then people are going to just start to talk about how you're cohabitating with a guy who's got a serial last name.
Well, that's all right.
Okay. That's better than the alternative, Frankenberry.
Yeah, good point. Good point. All right. Well, anyway, it's Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore, Carol Pesci. We've got our guest, Kimberly Cummings, on the way. So please stick around and we will be right back.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back to Happy Hour here this morning with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci and myself. And it is time now to get to our guest, as we always do, in segment number two. And Jonna, go ahead. Do the glowing thing that you do with me.
I know. We are really excited to be speaking with Kimberly B. Cummings. She is the founder of a website entitled Manifest Yourself. She's also a career and leadership expert, an accomplished speaker and podcast host whose mission is to help women and people of color navigate the workplace, make more money, who doesn't want to do that, and become industry leaders. Her personal and professional development company, which I just referenced, Manifest Yourself, provides in-person and virtual workshops, training, and consulting to organizations looking to empower and educate their workforce and thus enabling professionals to do more, be more, and achieve more. Now, in her free time, Kimberly has managed to pen her very first book entitled Next Move, Best Move, Transitioning into a Career You'll Love. Kimberly, welcome to Happy Hour.
Thank you so much for having me.
So we're really excited to talk to you about a number of things. I do want to talk to you about your manifestyourself.com, because that just sounds completely interesting to me. But your book really caught our attention. And I don't know if it's because we're coming out of a pandemic where a lot of people have some pent up frustration in where they are in their careers, or maybe it just happens naturally, doesn't really matter. But let's talk about your book, Next Move, Best Move, Transitioning into a Career You Love. Where did that start?
So the funny thing is, I started to go back through my history of speaking engagements as I was talking more and more about the book. And fun fact, which I forgot myself, was that I did a speaking engagement in fall 2017 with the exact title of the book. And this was really the process that I brought my clients through as they made transitions in their careers. So whether they're looking for lateral, promotional, new company, their current company, I have a process that really makes them evaluate where they are, what their core values are, and really build a plan to put together a career strategy. So in essence, I've been putting the same type of information out since 2017, maybe a teen sooner.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And that's also very ironic. And do you find in your profession, so like what prompts people, why do people need somebody like you? Is because like I just mentioned, we're coming out of a pandemic, and I don't know if that's adding to people's career frustration or whether we are going to have frustration anyway, because we're always trying to develop ourselves. Like, where does that come from, do you think?
So I think many people wait to start thinking about transitioning to another career when they're currently frustrated in their current career. I recently did a workshop and I asked people, what is the first thing that comes to your mind on Monday morning when you click your laptop on? And everybody was like, oh my God, y'all again, how many emails do I have? Is it 5 o'clock? I need a drink. That's what everybody said. And what I try and teach professionals is that in order to make a transition, and for me, I think transition is any type of career movement. It doesn't just have to be those catastrophic from one industry to another, that the career process is continuous. Like what you're doing today is going to help you make your move in 6 months, in a year, in 2 years, and you don't need to wait until you're miserable. You need to think about this honestly when you're happy, so you can be maximizing your current job before you think about going to the next one.
Oh, see, that's really smart. I know, that is absolutely smart, because I think a lot of people can relate, and me included. And don't get me wrong, I love, I'm an attorney by day and I love what I do, but I got to tell you, Monday morning, I have those exact same sentiments, right? And when my coworkers and I go, is it too early to start drinking? And it's, 10:30 a.m. So we all have that. So I'm wondering if there's a way, and does the book, do you discuss this in the book, which just came out on Wednesday?
Yes.
Are there ways to prevent that sort of, I call it burnout in general, I'm not sure if that's the right word, but are there ways to prevent that along the career path? Do you speak to that?
I do a bit. I think the process overall, the goal is that the trajectory of your career is something that you can control. So by having a strategy in place, it essentially teaches you when it's time to make your next move. It's not that it comes out of thin air, like, all right, I'm miserable today, it's time for me to move. It's okay, if my goal is to be this type of title in 5 years, that means I need to make these strides every 6 months, every year, et cetera. So it teaches you more about career movement and when it's time for you to move versus kind of staying stagnant, which is why people get so upset and so frustrated, because they've been sitting somewhere for too long and just almost waiting for things to get better, but there was no strategy behind it. So they're literally just sitting there praying, like, I hope one day, God strikes down and says it's my day. And that's when I'm going to get a promotion, when you really have to be much more actionable. So it also talks about in the book, I have a chapter, one of my favorites, it's called How to Know When It's Time to Go. So if you are thinking about making that transition, I have 7 key steps or key indicators in there that really break down, like, all right, if you've been waiting too long, this may be your time.
Kimberly, this is Carol. I have a question for you. So first of all, congratulations. I know firsthand what a big deal it is, how much love and work and dedication goes into writing a book. So congratulations for that.
Yeah.
But correct me if I'm wrong. One of the early things that you talk about in your book, I think many people, especially when you're very young and forced to put in that position to choose a career when right out of school and high school, even sometimes to choose your education towards a certain career, that they may miss a very, very key step in not only what I want to do, and it's not just about the money or the title, but don't you help people really get in touch with what values do you have? What's important to you, and how can you choose your career path tying those values in? And I think a lot of people miss that. You talk about that in your book, right?
I do. That's definitely how it opens up, because I teach my clients that you spend 40 plus hours a week in your job. And honestly, we know for many careers, a lot more than that. So if your career essentially sucks, I don't want to say your life is going to suck, but your life probably is going to be happy. Yeah. So it's important that you start thinking about your core values. I say those are the essence of who you are, whether you're at work, at home, with friends, in your marriage, all of your core values are the core of who you are. So when you tap into those, matched with your actual passions and your skills, I go through a skills assessment as well. That's really the basis for making sure that you're operating from your strengths. I teach my clients all the time that you want to build a career based upon your strengths. Sometimes, you need to work on your weaknesses, but not all the time. Why not align yourself to what makes you happy and your strengths? One of my favorite mentors says, I'm strengthening my strengths versus always trying to improve a weakness.
Kimberly, is this book good also for, is it a good gift for someone who's graduating college this year and
yes,
going on a career path?
Oh my gosh, yes. This is the book I probably wish I had when I was graduating college and absolutely clueless. In the book, I kind of tell the story of how I fumbled when I graduated. I had a few jobs that I absolutely hated, but I made moves almost like people make relationship moves, right? You break up and you're like, I think this guy's going to be a little bit better. So you try and go there and it's like, actually this partner wasn't really the best for me. Let me try the next one. I went with always thinking the grass was greener on the next side with my first moves. But then I finally sat back. I was like, okay, what can I do to be happy? Not just make money.
I love that.
I wish I had this book because I promise you, I probably wouldn't have had those first three terrible jobs.
No, exactly. And I think a lot of people, for better or worse, think that having a career comes with a certain amount of misery. Like it's almost quote normal to be unhappy working. And I'm just now realizing that that's not how it really should be or needs to be. And I love you sort of taken, Carol and I are both avid fans of the law of attraction. And one of those principles is to chunk things down. And you kind of, you use that in order to chart your career course, which I think is brilliant. It's one of those things for me that I said to myself, well, why didn't I think of that?
Yes. I think that is such a great point. Like, it doesn't have to be like that. It just doesn't. You can be happy. You can be excited. But I also liken it to, I do a lot of analogies between relationships and the world of work. I think if you think about most marriages, right? Your partner is probably going to piss you off really bad sometimes.
Right.
Really, really bad, where you're just looking at them like, I don't understand why you are here. I don't want to see your face. But that's natural. Because at the end of the day, as much as you don't want to see their face in that exact moment, you definitely don't want them to leave. It's like, I'm going to hate you and you're going to be in this house with me. That's going to happen. That's how I think about jobs, right? You have those bad days. You're going to wish you weren't there those days.
Right.
But there needs to be a basis of love or passion that makes you want to continue to do it.
And I think from an employee's perspective, because I'm a boss. From an employee's perspective, and I try to think like an employee sometimes because I want everybody to excel and thrive and grow here. And somebody recently, one of my good friends who's also been a guest on the show, said something to the effect of, you know, when you want to get a raise from your boss, ask your boss. Don't ask the universe. Like, if you want more money, ask your boss. And I get it. And I try to instill in my staff, like, if you want more money and you want to grow and bonuses or whatever, you have to add value. It's not something that just comes from the length. It's like when you liken it to a relationship, but you can be with somebody for 20 years, but that doesn't entitle them to anything more than they had at year 10. You've got to add value. Am I way, way off on that?
No. In my chapter about salary negotiation, and a few times, honestly, in the book, because this is one of my soapboxes, I tell people that getting a promotion is not about time and role. It's about impact and value. We need to stop thinking that because you've been in a job for XYZ amount of months, years, whatever it is, that entitles you to a promotion. That's essentially, you are meeting expectations by staying in that job and doing your work every single day. You don't get a promotion for meeting expectations. You get a promotion when you start to exceed expectations, when you're kind of rated as almost distinguished in your job before thinking about performance ratings. It's really about role mastery, impact, and value. That's how you negotiate your salary. It's how you get put in line for promotional opportunities. That's a discussion that so many employees may not have necessarily had yet. And one of the key questions I always tell my clients to ask their manager is, when you're thinking that maybe you want to get promoted or make a move, ask your manager point blank, what is it that you believe you need to see from me in order for me to take the next step in my career? And then just shut up. You have to listen. Listen to what they say and start to add that into your career strategy so you can make your next move. And you know, you're already in alignment with what your manager feels is important for you to improve upon.
Right. I feel like that makes total sense.
Kimberly, I feel like that chapter alone is worth the price of the book 10 times over.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes me feel good. Thank you.
Seriously, it's such an important topic and can really affect people's lives greatly
if they knew how to approach it in a productive way.
Yes.
They'll get much more results that way.
Kimberly, do you also offer any advice? I know you have some assessments in the book, but what about people who are maybe so unhappy that they think a wholesale career change, like burn the boats, you know, I'm going to go from selling insurance to making widgets or whatever. Do you have advice for those people to make the transition at all, or let alone smoother?
I do. So really, for those folks, they just need to come to the book with a fresh set of eyes, and overhauling everything they think that they need, that they want, confirming that that's what they'd like to do. But the relationship building chapters are probably going to be the most important for those folks, because when you're overhauling your career, you're also overhauling the relationships. I tell everyone that relationships are the only thing that can probably expedite your success in the workplace. So when you're looking to make that transition, creating relationships that align with the new place you'd like to go are going to be key, because so many times when people are making that transition, they're thinking, again, a little bit of an escape. Most of the time when they're there, it's like, I don't want to be here. And the grass may look greener, but if you've never worked in a field, you don't have relationships in that field, you need to start doing a lot more research to make sure that that move really and truly is your best move. And you go being informed with insider information versus just essentially the rose-colored glasses that you have on right now.
See, that brings up another point, because I know you mentioned somebody else that you were speaking to, that you are an avid, although maybe reluctant, networker, which I can certainly relate to. I don't like networking. I think it's kind of necessary. But you say that's probably a key component in any career advancement or change, is the ability to network, which is hard to do for some people.
It is. Networking can feel so unnatural. And I think also when we just call it networking, it just gives people, it makes them scared. It makes them pull back, like, nah, I got to go in. I got to be like, well, what do you do? Well, what do I do? Well, I really like a job here. And it makes people think about that question, like, how can you help me? But I really work to reframe how we think about networking and really push it to truly building relationships, removing the expectation of a transaction or an ask being fulfilled, and really getting to know the individual, starting with finding folks who have a commonality with you. So whether it's your undergrad or graduate institution, a past employer, or even asking someone who currently is in your network to make an introduction to someone who isn't, and really kind of giving yourself a much longer timeline. Most people think it's supposed to just come into magic that we get the next move, but how can you really think about building that relationship over the course of a year, 2 years, 6 years? I tell a lot of stories in the book about how I didn't realize it until I really started digging into it, but a lot of my jobs have come through relationships that I've had in corporate America, and they've taken time, sometimes 2 years, 3 years before I got referred to a role. Sometimes it happened quickly based upon the impression they had, but it really takes dedicated effort for that to happen.
I'll agree with that. I think one of the things that I don't like about networking is that it seems like whenever somebody wants to network with me, they're trying to sell me something. Mm-hmm. And they don't get to know me at all. It's just, hey, this is what I have. You should talk to me because I want to sell it to you. And then I just get turned off and I run away.
Exactly. I tell a story in the book about how I was at an event and someone was walking around literally just like handing out their business cards, like gum. And I was like, I was in a mood that day. So I actually handed it back to them and I was like, no, thank you. And they looked at me like absolutely shocked. And I was like, I'm like, I'm a career coach, so I hope you could take this as a learning moment. But there's no reason for me to have your card because I don't know you and you don't know what I need. I'm like, you have no idea. I don't need this. I'm going to probably put it in the trash. Like, if I were you, I'd focus on having a bit of a conversation. And then we had a lovely conversation. Thank goodness. They probably could have cursed me out, but you know, that didn't happen, luckily. But I was just so over it that day because so many people had done it. So I was just the last one. I was like, I got to tell somebody. They stopped doing this.
When I used to, and I used to be heavily involved in our regional chamber of commerce. And when I used to go to networking events, and I always got the same, do I have to? So yeah. I changed how I approached it. Rather than feeling like I was going there to have my face seen and people learn more about me and look for things that could advance my agenda, I started going, and my objective became, let me find three people to connect with on a little bit more of a longer. And my objective was to learn who they were, what they were doing, and see if there was a way I could enrich them.
Exactly.
And it completely changed my experience. And then the receptivity, because when you go up to somebody, say, so tell me about yourself. What do you do? And do you need any doors open? I don't know. Is there anything that you need? Are you facing a challenge right now that for some reason I might know someone to be able to help you with it? Completely changes the experience. And they're going to naturally say, well, wow, thank you. Tell me about you.
Exactly. And my clients who are really introverts who really struggle with this, I always tell them, keep the conversation based on that person.
Yes.
Most people enjoy talking about themselves. So every time they ask you a question, take it a lawyer deeper, take it a little deeper, one more time. And then over time, they're going to turn it back to you, but you'll have enough information to really have a more informed conversation. Just like you said three, I tell my clients sometimes one. Just right. And don't go to those events with your friends. Like in this virtual world, I tell people to try and see if you're on a virtual event, try and see the frequent flyers, the people who are asking all the questions. It doesn't just have to be the speaker, but it's easy to just reach back out to someone who's like, hey, I saw you in that event. You were super duper engaged. Would you mind having 15 minutes to talk about blah, blah, blah that happened at the event? Just find little ways to find that one person. And then also just practice in your everyday life. Like another dating analogy. I know when I was, you know, out in the streets trying to date back a while ago before I got married, I used to challenge myself to go take myself to dinner. And I refused to take my phone out of my purse. I was like, I will talk to any human being who is not in my phone. And I would just make myself, I'd talk to a bartender. I'd talk to the person next to me. I just needed to practice having conversations. When I went to jury duty, I would have a conversation with who was there, because I think it's no phones allowed in there either. So all you can do is just talk to other people. I just force myself in everyday interactions to just be a little bit more open to asking a second question versus like, excuse me, or hey, and just going about my business.
Kimberly, you just said something that made me laugh at myself, and I'm going to out myself. Jonna and I, in addition to doing the show together, we're good friends, and we have another other few friends that are like part of a women's networking group. And another key friend of ours, Jeannie Kelly, a few shows go by that we don't mention her name. But anytime the three of us go to an event, somewhat networking-ish, and if we go together, we're going to go get a glass of wine at the bar, and we're going to go huddle in the corner. And you said, John, am I right? Am I right? Because that's comfortable, right? And that's safe. But if the objective is to expand your network and build relationships, you said, don't go to an event with a friend.
No. That's
brilliant. And I've done it. I'm guilty. But you're 100% right.
It is. Or you have to be with people who you kind of make an agreement, like, all right, we're going to walk into this event, we're going to grab our three drinks, and then we're going to go about our business and we'll connect back.
Yes.
And I also try and target people who are also by themselves when I'm at events. Like there's got to be someone else whose friends canceled. There's got to be at least one person whose friends were good for nothing and canceled. Let me go find that person who feels like me and kind of get myself in that and introduce myself.
You know, Kimberly, I just wanted to bring this up. Not too long ago, I got accidentally included on some stranger group text. Ooh. I mean, I literally got 39 texts between driving from home
to home. Oh, boy.
Wow.
And eventually, I, you know, let them know. They thought that I was somebody named Ashley. And I said, well, I couldn't, Ashley, if you'd like me to. I said, we can all use a change of pace. But they were going back and forth about this 50th birthday party that they were setting up. Now, when I tell you I never go out, I never go out. But if they had invited me to that birthday party, I would have gone to that birthday party.
You should have went anyway.
They did. They invited you.
Well, they never had any dates or anything, you know, in the text. So I didn't know where it was or when it was or anything like that. But if they had, I would have gone to that party, even though I basically never leave my apartment and I'm happy to not.
You would have.
That would have been your networking. Well, Kimberly, we could keep going here, but we're going to wrap up with Kimberly B. Cummings. We've been talking about her very first book, Next Move, Best Move, Transitioning into a Career You'll Love. And I suggest anybody who's even thinking about making any sort of change on the career front, pick up the book. It just was released a few days ago on Wednesday. Kimberly, it's been amazing talking to you. Wish you the best of luck. If people want to get a hold of you and connect with you directly, I know you do a lot of consulting and a lot of speaking and podcasting. What's the best way for people to reach out to you?
Please tell them to go right to KimberlyBCummings.com, at Kim B. Cummings on basically every social media, or in all honesty, just go ahead and shoot me an email, info@KimberlyBCummings.com.
Fantastic. We really appreciate having you. Best of luck with the book. And thanks so much for joining us today on Happy Hour.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you, Kimberly. You.
Yes, we appreciate the company, and we'll be right back here with Happy Hour. We've still got segment number 3 on the way, so please stick around. This is K104.
Donna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's Happy Hour with Donna and Carol.
And welcome back to Happy Hour one more time this morning here on K104 with Donna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Frankenberry. Boom! Chocolata.
Boom! Chocolata.
Did it again. Oh my God.
Yes, of course we did, Jonas.
Oh my God, you're so, so funny.
Thanks again to Kimberly B. Cummings for joining us. She was great.
She was great. And I think it's such an important topic. I think most people look at their job or maybe their career, and it's like what she said, like Monday morning comes around, like, ugh. And I think no matter what you choose to do, even though, and I work for myself and I love what I do, I have days still and there's work involved. But to really help people evaluate not just what they're doing, why they're doing it, and how they can put themselves on a path where they will feel more fulfilled in their work, and hopefully making more money and getting more promotions. I think it's a really, really important topic, especially the chapter on how to ask for a raise.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, there probably are more employees in this world than there are bosses who are responsible for that. But it is very, very much a two-way street. And I think employees would be, put in an advantageous position if they realize that you can get pretty much anything you want if you bring value to the table. That's how I feel personally anyway.
Yeah, she was good. Mm-hmm. So speaking of good, I know this is a really weak signal, but I got a couple of shout outs I want to give. First of all, you guys know that I started a publishing company a while back called Little Pink Press, and I publish books by or for women. And someone was listening to our show a few weeks ago when I congratulated my client, April Matula. She's done a number of children's books. She does all her own illustrations. And I was congratulating her. Someone listened to the show and reached out to me. Her name's Melissa Aragali. And she wrote this children's book, even had it illustrated, but never knew what to do with it. And she's like, I heard you on K104. I've had this book. I don't know how to get it published. And lo and behold, since that show a few weeks ago, I have just helped her publish her first book. It is absolutely adorable. It's called Peter in the Attic, A Trip to Egypt's Past. And she's going to do a number of them. It's a story of Peter, and he'll open a book and he'll ask the book to take him places. And this one happens to take him back to King Tut. And he's a little boy and he meets King Tut as a little boy. But congratulations to Melissa. Her book is called Peter in the Attic. And it's just cool that this show allowed me to connect with her and I was able to help her fulfill her dream of getting her book published. So check out Peter in the Attic.
That's great. That's fantastic. Un-networking. We were just talking with Kimberly B. Cummings about networking and how a lot of people don't like to do it. You just networked, and it helped the two of you. I love this story.
Yeah, it's like, am I helping my business? Yeah, I'm not. I'm more in it for the fulfillment of helping people get their work out there. I think too many people go through their lives with their books in them and they never see the light of day. And I love and appreciate that I'm part of that. But the illustrations are phenomenal. It's a really, really cute book. And she was a joy to work with. So the other good thing I want to tell you guys about, you know how, John, I will text you and Jeannie sometimes and like, I have a new favorite product or, new favorite thing. And we'll share these things with each other. So yep. Tell me what you think if I say to you white bourbon caramel.
Ooh. you had me at bourbon.
I had you at bourbon. So walking down Main Street Beacon the other day, which is just a hub of little cafes and restaurants and so cool. And I came across a brand new store. You're going to be mad at me for this, to go check out, called Schmuck's Sweet Stuff. These guys, they're in the Hudson Valley Food Hall. They have all their ice cream handcrafted. All of their stuff is sourced locally wherever possible. And I think I tasted about every freaking flavor that they have. But I'm telling you, if you guys like ice cream on a hot day, go check out Schmuck's. They even, I love the name too. They even have vegan, quote unquote, ice cream. I tasted, they had a dark chocolate one that's made from coconut milk. Absolutely fantastic. So nice. Ice cream is always fun. It's the time of year for it. New business. I always like to support local new businesses, but definitely if you're in Beacon, go check out Schmuck's. Schmuck's Sweet Stuff. Just like, and they have a walk-up Schmuck's window. Yeah, so they have a walk-up window right on the sidewalk, so you don't even have to go into the food hall if you don't want to.
They need to create gift certificates that are called Schmuck's Bucks. That Schmuck's you can Bucks. Give to people.
Well, it's funny because as you were, and you know, you and I love marketing and being, you know, a play on words. I was thinking that they could call their vegan dark chocolate Boom Chocolaca. but seriously, and so for example, so the other one that I tasted was their fresh mint chocolate chip. It's not green, and the mint flavor is not from like a liquid additive. They actually use fresh mint. I've never tasted a mint chocolate spice cream that good.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Now my mouth is watering.
Yeah. So now you're going to have to put some carbohydrates in your pie hole.
Yeah. I have to try that. I've never been a big fan of mint, but I've always, for some reason, liked mint chocolate chip ice cream. And I definitely would have to try that one.
Oh, my God. Really, really good. Good stuff. So you're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Yes. Thank you for recommending us to the Schmuck's.
Yes.
Right.
It's the one thing I can't buy on Amazon, so I can't accidentally have it land on my neighbor's doorstep. All right, kids.
I think we are good for today. Again, Kimberly Cummings, thanks again for joining us, and good luck with that brand new book. For Jonna Spilbar, for Carol Pesci, I am Frankenberry, and we'll be back again next week, same time as always, 7 o'clock, right here on K104. So please join us again then. Until then, have a good week.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbar and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104Online.com.